Hello, this is Deborah Anderson, the Black Woman Animator, coming back to you with another video. And in this video, I have Shayoon Sampson. Welcome.
Hello, hello, hello. That's a good way of pronouncing my name, actually. You got it right. That's cool.
You know, I'll be looking it up and stuff, trying to be culturally competent. So can you introduce yourself right quick?
Cool. So my name is Shayoon Sampson. I am a Nigerian character designer, concept artist, 3D artist. I work in the animation industry. Been in the industry for like 10 years now. And yeah, it's pretty much like my baseline, honestly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice. So how was it growing up and what's your origin story?
Sweet. I mean, it was fun growing up, honestly. I feel like I forgot most of it though, but the parts I remember was I've always been creative, right? And my family has been creative in a way. My elder brother used to be like an artist. He's still an artist, but he doesn't do as much as I do now. But yeah, I grew up in Lagos. And as you know, like Lagos is always buzzing. There's so much happening in Lagos. Mm-hmm. But basically, my childhood was growing up on like animations like Spider-Man, you know, Wonder Cats, mm-hmm. and cartoons like that actually inspired my creativity, you know, growing up. I know I used to draw my own comic very early, but I didn't even know they were a comic at the time because I started drawing my own storyboards before I knew what comics were.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, like I think early childhood was watching a lot of cartoons. Then my secondary school period, that was when I started drawing more. You know, Naruto was a very big thing for me. So I used to draw manga. Who would imagine? I used to draw manga a lot. Yeah, when I started. But for manga, I went into comics proper. Hawk used to be my best comic. So Hawk and Pete by Dale Keown was like my main thing. I thought I was going to be like one of the best comic artists because I went into comics seriously.
Yeah.
I switched again into like video games concept art. So I did that for a bit, then switched back to character design. So I went from like very stylized to comic, hardcore comic, went into like concept art creatures and stuff, then went back to cartoon stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's always been like that, you know, great influence with music. Music was a big part. I used to do a lot of singing growing up. I still do now. Hmm. So yeah, it's been like a very creative, fun childhood. Yeah.
So of what you remember, what are some of your best childhood memories?
Best childhood memories? I think one of my best childhood memories, of course, is just like not thinking about anything for sure. That's everybody's childhood best memories. But I think I always do a lot of cosplay. But we didn't know it was cosplay, right? We just always like take blankets and like towels and tie it on like capes and stuff. I think that was fun. And I remember specifically, we used to create like our own guns with, there's this tree called pawpaw. Do you know pawpaw?
Mm-mm.
It's a fruit, right?
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, it's a fruit, right? And the branch has this, it's very hollow and very soft. Mm-hmm. So we used to like use sticks to make it like a gun. Mm-hmm. Now I'm thinking that was fun, man. Yeah, like, that was something we used to do a lot. And I still remember it now. I think that's one of my childhood, you know. No worries, Priya. Yeah.
The good old days.
Oh, man. I wish I could go back.
So can you talk more about your culture and the uniqueness of where you're from?
Oh, yeah. I think everybody's catching on now to the culture, you know. Mm-hmm. But for me, I think the unique thing about being Nigerian is just the hustle, man. Like, it's default. Everybody's used to like hustle and like push hard, you know, like, and like building to have everything. We went up, like the culture is built to really make you push yourself to get it all, right?
Yeah.
You know, in the Western world, now that I'm here in Canada, it's different because everybody is used to like a credit system. So things are a lot more relaxed, but back home, push hard for every single thing, you know? So I think that's the beauty of the culture. And just growing up in music, I didn't know how interesting it was till now. You know, like music is like everywhere in church, in parties, like, and people are like, people are trained to be original, you know, like great sounds and stuff. I remember I used to make my own guitar.
Nice.
Back in the days, I make it with a lot of like braid rubber. This rubber that used to make braids.
Yeah.
But I used to make my own guitars with that. So like, you know, like being very creative is part of the culture. It's just, it's inbuilt. That's one thing I think I really enjoy, the creativity. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
There's so much, man.
what are your favorite, you know, customs and traditions from your culture?
Customs and traditions.
Or from your family.
Ah, man. I think it's just family. Now I sound like I walk on the path of furious, but it's just family. It's just like being brought up in a way that you know your roots, right? Like you know your family, you're mm-hmm. around your family, and just respecting that no matter how far you go, how big you get. I think that's one thing about culture, like just the family mindset, really.
Do you have any funny stories that your family tells about you that you like to share?
I think I used to be like a vigilante one time. Because there was this movie growing up. It's like they were kind of like, how would I put it now? Neighborhood guards, mm-hmm. but they had like charms and they have this bandana they always wear. So I used to think I was part of that. So my mom still jokes about that now. That I used to think I was like the leader and stuff. So I go around with the kids from the neighborhood and just, what is the, I don't know. We're just doing it. But yeah, that's one thing I think I still laugh about now. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so many though. Yeah.
So you were originally going to study medicine. Like, how did that change?
Yeah, I used to, again, like so many different. I feel like I've lived so many lifetimes. I used to think I would be a doctor, mm-hmm. but I don't like the sight of blood. Like, I don't know how. I don't even know how. But again, I feel like it's just part of what, like being Nigerian, right? Like being a doctor, engineer, what else? Doctor and engineer is like the main thing. So you always have to be, unless you're not successful. That's how it was for a really long time. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I have to fall into one like that, right? So I thought I was going to be a doctor. But nah, I don't see that happening anyway. There's one time I actually thought I would be like an astronaut. Man, I was just thinking a lot of stuff. I was just dreaming wild.
Yeah. You're just being a kid.
I guess.
The possibilities are endless.
Mm-hmm.
So were your parents supportive of your artistic interests?
Now, yes. Before, no. I mean, like, I had really bad experience, man. I had really, really tough experience. Because my dad was really tough on me. Yo. But it's not like it is supportive, but it's hard to, like, see anybody doing what I do now. Mm-hmm. Even now, it's still hard. You know, like, they didn't see it, man. They didn't see it. Because it's weird. I was a science student. And right at the end of school, I decided to be an art. Like, it didn't make any sense. They just told me to be someone that's so confused, you know. But now they understand that. They believed. I feel like they trusted my judgment, but they were not just sure, you know. And they have to, like, protect me and try to, like, put me in the right direction. But I know for sure my mom supported me, because I remember times when I'm drawing in the night and she would, like, buy me candles. Like, I remember very well. She'd be like, you keep drawing it. And I'm like, why are you drawing? Okay, just use candles. Like, use candles. Because I always, like, use the lantern and heat. So she had to buy me candles. And when it's, like, half out, no, I'm done with candles. I'm buying. Yeah, she supported that way. But it was little.
Yeah.
But now it's different. It's different now.
Yeah. It's always that evolution. Once you become more successful, it's like, you can't see, like, what other people aren't doing. That's why this platform exists, because now others can see, and then their parents can see.
So good. Because I wish I saw a lot of stuff like this earlier. That would have really helped me, you know, because mm-hmm. to look up to. Yeah.
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 So, some projects that you've worked on, you know, Monster High, Electrify, Jungle Beat, the movie, SEAL Team, Owaju. Are there any other projects that you worked on?
Oh, man, so many. I've done a lot of freelance stuff that I can't even remember. I was going to the other day and I'm like, yo, I can't even put everything I've done. There's no way. I have to, like, pick things I think will be easy. But I know I've done a lot of commercial stuff for studios in the UK and the US. What other stuff is not there? I did some stuff on a game project. Hopefully the game will be released. I'm just waiting.
Yeah.
But yeah, like major feature films, those are the ones I think. And some new ones will come out soon, you know, indie and stuff. But yeah.
What would you say you love about animation?
Everything, man. I feel like animation is like everything. Music, you know, design. You could push in culture there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and personalities, right? So for me, what actually drew me to focus more on character design is just like building personalities, right? And I feel like animation is just literally just watching that play out, you know? So everything about animation, you know? And now that animation is gearing towards the more artistic feel, yo, I'm too happy. Yeah.
So you've done a lot of like, you know, 2D character design, visual development. How did you bring 3D into the mix?
I had to, man. I had to. Honest answer. I had to, because I realized 2D jobs, because I love working in 3D animation, first off. If I love working in 2D, I'll be perfect. But I wanted to work in 3D. I always like working in 3D because my paintings always try to mimic 3D, right? Mm-hmm. So I realized like in production, 2D is like the first 5-6 months out of like 3 years or 4 years of production.
Yeah.
Right. It made no sense to like get cut off, you know? So I wanted to like go further. So I picked up 3D and I loved it. Actually, I loved ZBrush. That was like the, I did ZBrush for a while without even doing 2D. So 3D for me is just, it made sense for me because I was working in 3D. And after I do the concept, I find sometimes it's harder to get people to translate that 2D to 3D. And the director has to come in, approve the 2D, then approve the 3D, then approve the look. So I was like, man, I could fix this problem. I could be that guy.
Yeah.
That transition easily. And again, I get to work longer in production, right?
So right.
That's the main reason.
Multi-talented. That's job security.
That's the goal. That's the goal.
Yeah. So I saw an interview, like a written interview you had with Artella. Did you get any good? I remember joining that site and then never doing anything. Did you get any good opportunities from Artella? Or
did? Yeah, I did actually. There was a project we pitched and it went silent. Then I think 2 years after, the project got selected or something. I don't know. So I got to work on it again and I was paid properly. So
nice.
That was the only thing. And I got to meet some people too, but I didn't talk anymore. Yeah, I wish you walked out though.
Yeah, like now they're just a file. I just went to their site and they're just a file management site. But I remember being really excited, like, oh, I can work on stuff. But then I just never followed through and like signed up for anybody's project.
We need something like that again, because it kind of like broke the barrier of working with different people, right? Like you could work with like some great directors just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, forgotten about Taylor. I just remember now. Yeah.
So what has been your career path from Nigeria to where you are now? Because you were in the UK for a little bit too, right?
Oh no, I was in Nigeria.
Oh, you just worked remotely?
I was working remotely. Everybody thought I'd be in you. I wish. But I was in Nigeria. My transition, I think I've been in Nigeria. I've been working in Nigeria all my life, really. Till last year, I just moved here to Canada. The transition really has been smooth because it's the same thing. I don't think there's no difference work-wise. It's just like culture changing places, of course, but work-wise it's the same. And I think now I'm trying to understand what it is working full-time and getting into the full-time. It's different, man. It's different. I'm so used to it.
What is the huge differences for you?
I think it's just, first off, pricing is different for some reason that doesn't make sense to me. It's different. I mean, it's cheaper to work full time than freelance. I don't get it. What else? I mean, the good part of it is you get to work with people more. You're more infused into the project. You know more about the pipeline. And that's one thing I wanted for a long time. What else? Yeah, just commitment, right? You know, like seeing a project go through the whole stage. Because as a freelancer, you deliver your stuff, you're out. It gets picked up. It's published, you're getting your money, you're out, you know, but in this you're committed, you know, you're more attached, I think. Yeah.
So what is the big, like, shocks from Nigeria to Canada?
Everything, man. Everything. I think for me, what I would say, what I miss the most, of course, is the food, the fashion. And if you ask me, I would say, I won't miss these things, but I miss them a lot. I miss a lot. I'm tired of eating bread. Yeah, man, I'm tired. Everything is bread, man. Your brother wants to lose weight. Help a brother. But yeah, like What else? I think the old credit thing is great. It's like a big, I don't think I would get used to it till like maybe when I leave the same time I've lived in Nigeria. So like 28 years or something again. Then yeah. My brain. but yeah, I think that's like the major changes.
Yeah.
And things are a lot more laid back here. You could actually create and like explore. You know, I've gone to like the Comic-Con, comic stores are all around. If I had grown up here, man, I don't know how different my life would have been though. I loved the fact that I grew up in Nigeria, but I feel like the exposure to things would be crazy. I feel like I'd have been a comic artist like maybe when I was like 6 or something. Yeah, it's everything's here.
Right. Access.
Yeah.
How did you get the opportunity to do the Domestika course? I actually bought it, so I support. I haven't finished it yet, but I bought it.
That's the good thing about Domestika, right? Like, take your time, do it at your own pace. Rush, no pressure, just pick it up. I have courses that I haven't even opened up. You know, so yeah, how did Domestika happen? No idea. I don't know. But one thing I know for sure is like, because I'm Christian, right? And everything is connected in a way. If you really logically try to like track it, something somewhere has clicked, something. But yeah, I was just on my computer one day working. I just got an email. Hi. I'm like the producer from Domestika. Would like to be on a course. I was like, one of those emails. I just left it alone. Because I remember, I think even Skillshare reached out before they even became like what they were. But I just ignored it. I didn't even care. I just left it alone. I think I ignored it for like 2 days. Then the third day, I was like, man, let me even read through this thing. What's this? So I checked. I was like, Domestika. I have courses on Domestika. But I was worried because at the time, there were no English courses. They were all like Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's going on? So I replied. And interestingly, it was like a real thing. You know, they wanted to like bring in, you know, Africans to like, you know, branch out, you know, do more things for our people and see creators from our perspective, you know, and it was a great opportunity. It was beautiful. It's like one of the highlights of that year. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely got a bunch of work where I'm going to have to read the subtitles.
yeah, man. Same. I have like 3 or 4 that I haven't even watched, but they're great. Like, Domestika is great. Yeah. It was an experience, man.
So what would you say is your biggest breakthrough in your career? Or have you had multiple?
Biggest breakthrough? Man, I feel like I'm still breaking through. but like biggest breakthrough, I think now I know what I bring to the table, it's easier to identify those breakthroughs now, right? But I think one of the biggest opportunities I've had, Domestika is one of them because it means a lot to me. We've not had anybody like myself do anything like that before. So it was great to like do that on that platform. I worked on some projects earlier last year. That was great. Iwaju is a good one. Yeah. Disney, like that's a big one, right?
Yeah.
And I think just looking back at my own career, like so many breakthroughs actually, because most of the best or biggest projects that have come out from Africa, I've always been like the very first people to work on it. You know, I never saw it as anything, but now when I look back, I'm like, yo, that's like a great thing. You know, like there's no project that's been out of Africa that I've not been part of, you know? So I feel like there's so many breakthroughs. I can't pick one. Yeah. There's so many.
We have to dedicate a segment to the gift, the talent, the oil, the voice. Like, how long have you been singing? When did you start singing? Like, how is that? You know, you've been singing before.
Yeah, man, singing is so. I'm Christian, right? And everybody has a calling. It's just fact. I feel like even to every religion, everybody has a calling. Everybody has a reason why they're here. Mm-hmm. I know for sure, and I struggle with this for a really long time. I think I'm still struggling with it a bit. Mm-hmm. It's like I feel like music is part of my calling. It's what my gift is. Mm-hmm. But I love art too, so I've been trying to like balance that, right?
Yeah.
I've been, honestly, I'm trying so much not to invest too much in music because it might take me away from art. I've been struggling with that. Yeah. But music has always been there. Music has always been there, even before I started drawing. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember I've been writing songs when I can remember stuff. Like I've been composing songs and I still do that today. You know, so yeah, it's been there. It's just been there.
So you get to collaborate with, you know, friends and what is Tribe Music? Can you talk about that?
Oh, Tribe. Oh, man, that was a great experience. Still a great one. So it's a church. Tribe is actually a church. It's a community of, I would say, it's a community of people that just had a lot of questions, you know, about Christianity, about religion, just about who they are. And a big plus to it's a group of creatives, like everybody. Just imagine myself, duplicates of myself in the church. You know, it's like a creative bunch. So, Tribe Music was a team of just worship leaders, you know, songwriters, artists, poetry writers, you know, poems was something that's very huge, you know, in the team. But yeah, Tribe Music was a team I actually had to lead for, like, I led for 2 to 3 years, you know. But I also started from, like, just being part of it, you know, being in the back and all that. But yeah, Tribe Music is a great worship team. It's a worship team of just creatives. That's the best way I could put it. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely on YouTube it's easier to find a video of you singing than anything about animation.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yo, it's been so hard, man. It's been really hard. I had to, at some point, I had to create 2 Instagram accounts. Now the music one is like almost dead. Nothing is happening there, you know, but I'm still struggling. Hopefully, God's gonna help me find that balance.
Yeah. So what opportunities has singing given you? Because I have seen the multiple various spaces you are in the YouTube space, so like
I think opportunities music has given me. I feel like everything, man. Music is like my life. I always say, like, music is like my weapon. Really, honestly, that's what it is, you know. And because of the kind of music I do, music is just, I think, what's the best way to put it? Opportunities. Trying to find the word to use, but music has just been my peace, you know. Like, when I mean, you know, the industry, right? The animation industry can be toxic sometimes. You know, and when I get into those spaces, I run to music, man. And when I'm about to get into those spaces, or when I'm out, whatever, music is always where I, you know, it's like my safe space. And I think that's one thing. That's why I have not gone deep into it. Because I feel like when I go deep, it's not gonna be my safe space anymore. It's gonna, you know. But yeah, yeah.
It's like the preparation and the outlet.
Exactly, man. That's exactly what it is. That's the best way to put it. Yeah.
So, like, who did you listen to growing up?
Growing up, I know Don Williams was a big one. The Mum was a big one. Who else did I listen to? Oh yeah, Hillsong. Hillsong was like, Hillsong is still one of, like, my, you know, Spotify for sure is the songs I play the most. Hillsong, I would say, yeah, because at that time I understand more about life and, like, writing songs and, you know, words made more sense. Yeah, so Hillsong, I would say Hillsong.
What have you learned throughout your life and career that will be beneficial advice to others?
Man, I always tell my friends now, like, what will be, you know. Like, you don't pressure yourself, because I still tell myself that. Don't overthink anything. Don't just trust your guts, you know, and just believe in yourself. And again, like, push through. It's a lot of stuff, but I'll put it all in one. Be determined in yourself, because at the end, it's just about you, right? Like, believe in yourself. And when you do that, every other thing will fall into place. You know, the right opportunities will come, everything will make sense. Because my own career, I had so many years, it didn't make any sense. Trust me, it didn't make any sense. And it's just interesting, like, now I'm seeing Triggerfish is, like, everywhere right now, right? And I started with Triggerfish. I can't even say how much was the first job I started with. You know, and it's crazy to see how things have changed. You know, so it's just determine and just believe in yourself, really. Just believe in yourself. No matter how big you get, no matter how little you're starting, just believe in yourself. I think that would be my main thing. Yeah.
Did you ever have like a journey in the comfort of sharing your stuff, or were you always like comfortable like putting your stuff out there?
Oh man. You notice I haven't posted anything recently. Because now I don't have time. But I think the journey of posting, I would say, first off, just post, man. You don't even know what would get you the opportunity you're looking for. I keep telling people, though, it feels like the things I didn't even try to do are the things that open those doors. And I always ask people this question, like, why did you reach out to me? What exactly do you see? And when they say what they see, I'm like, what? I can't remember why I did that thing. The thing I did, and I'm thinking, yo, this would be like, what would make the opportunity? Nothing is going to happen. So, man, just post. Mm-hmm. You know, just share your stuff. It makes all the difference. It's our industry is pretty much about, like, what can you do?
Yeah.
What can you do? What have you done? You know, so you have to show something. If you're not showing anything, I don't know. I don't know how you're going to get the opportunities you want.
Right.
I mean, that's how I know it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you identify as introvert or extrovert? Or ambivert?
I'm a mix of both. Yeah, I'm a mix of both. Sometimes I'm to myself because I'm trying more now. And that's the downside of working remotely. More reasons to stay in the house. Like there's some days I don't even walk to my door the whole day, you know, but I think I'm a mix of both.
Yeah,
and that's the beauty about music. Music makes me look like, oh, I'm an extrovert, but trust me, I'm not. Yeah, I'm a mix of both.
I fully identify as an introvert, and then I'm like, society makes me have to be extroverted.
Right.
I don't identify as both. I'm like, I'm an introvert, and I play extrovert on TV.
Yeah, I always switch. If I'm around people, I'm out there, you know, I'm doing stuff. I always like having people around. But again, I like my space. Yeah, I like my sanity, yeah.
Yeah. What do people misunderstand the most about you?
Yo. Misunderstand. I don't think I've been in a situation where I actually think people misunderstand who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always very clear about, you know, what I stand for, who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I think is, well, it's just the old Nigerian stigma. Yeah. Yeah. But now it's changing. Now we have music, you know, breaking doors. So everybody knows. I think it's just the old Nigerian thing. Aside from that, personally, I don't think there's anything.
So what is the old Nigerian stigma?
Oh, man, there's so much. You can tell me you don't know. There's so much. I think first off, it's just we can't be trustworthy.
Mm.
We are too arrogant. What else? We always just... I met someone recently, and she just told me, you guys can be sneaky. And I'm like, what does that even mean? And I think it just boils down to, like, we're always determined, right? If we want something,
mm-hmm.
we go for it. We find every means to get it done. You know, so it could be misunderstood.
Yeah, like y'all are like, I feel like if you switch arrogant to like very sure of you yourselves, like,
yeah,
very confident.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's how I'm gonna actually explain what arrogance is. It's like just confidence on steroids. Yeah, then you don't care about anybody else. You're just doing your thing.
If don't nobody else believe in themselves, a Nigerian will believe in themselves.
Trust me, we do. And it's just, it's default. Everybody, naturally. Like the whole society just views me that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
What is one thing you failed at and how did you overcome it?
One thing I failed at and how did I overcome it? Yo, these questions, man. One thing I failed at. I think... I won't say I failed that, but I was really worried about was my art style.
Yeah, okay.
I think at some point, like in my career, this is like maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I was really worried. You know, and it's something that comes with the old drought of this industry when nothing is happening, it just goes silent. And you'll be like, yo, I'm here. I still exist. Like, I'm still doing stuff. You know, and doubts start creeping in and you start thinking like, yo, am I doing something wrong? Why am I not getting job offers or what's going on? Why are people not replying? You know, I think that happened. But how did I overcome it? I just realized that there's nobody else like me.
Mm-hmm.
There really is nobody else like me. Nobody can process the way I'll process. So there's something about my art. Then I started identifying that and I just believed it, right? I still have issues sometimes, like, oh, my style, do I even have a style? Do I stand out? But it's funny because when I talk to a lot of clients, they'll be like, yo, we want your style. I'm like, wait, what exactly is this style you guys are saying? Like, I don't know what you're saying. But again, it falls back to just believing in yourself, right?
Yeah.
I lost that belief at some point, but I just found it back again. And yeah.
Yeah.
It still happened.
Like, I have a, you know, I have multiple Instagram accounts, and like one is just to follow art that inspires me. And so I definitely follow you, like, because your style inspires me.
What is the style? I don't know.
It is there, though.
Yeah, thank you.
Is there anything people will be surprised to know about you?
I like playing soccer, even if I play like maybe once in like 5 years, but I like it. I know I really like it. But I don't like watching soccer.
Oh, yeah. That's how I like basketball.
Oh, really? You like playing, but you don't watch?
Like, I like watching basketball, but, like, the NBA has become very offensive instead of, like, the two sides of the court. And so it's not fun. And then when I was in middle school, the WNBA came out, and I was, like watching the games. And I'm like, this just makes me want to go outside and play on the hoop.
Right, exactly. Not even sitting to watch, right? Same, man. I think I'll sleep off. A lot of guys don't understand that, but it is what it is. Yeah. But I like soccer. I realize now that I love collecting art books. I have so many art books that I haven't even opened. And I still want to buy more. I have this friend, every time we go out, she'll be like, you know you're not buying that one, right? You know you're not, and I'm going to buy it. I don't know. I like collecting art books. I think when I eventually settle down, I would have that's something I'll do. I have like a library of art books where people can just come and read my books and you can take them, just come read, you know, enjoy them. Yeah. Cause I don't read them. Yeah.
Right. I was just about to mention that. There's like this concept where buying books and reading them are two different hobbies.
Two different. I wouldn't say I love reading books because I read maybe like one in like 5 years. Oh man. But I love collecting books. I love just having them. Yeah, I just like it. I've come to accept it.
What is the best advice like a mentor or coworker ever gave you about the industry?
I feel like I have, and that's one gift I think I've just always had. I've had people that have been great to me. I don't know what it is about me, but I've always had people that have been great. So one thing, I won't say there's one thing. It's just in different seasons, right? Right now, I think the one thing I hear a lot is no regrets. No regrets. You've made a decision. Move. Just don't start dragging yourself back, because that's when depression comes in.
Yeah.
When you start dwelling on, oh, I wish I did this. Yeah, you're just sinking to depression, right? Yeah. So like, just keep going. Even if it's a wrong decision and you know, yo, I screwed that one up. But just keep going. Just keep going. It's always gonna get better.
Yeah.
I think that's what I have right now that I hold on to. Because I'm making so many decisions in my life right now that I'm like, yo, what did I just do? You know? But again, just keep going. Just keep going. Yeah. And I would just top that up with like, always ask questions, man.
Yeah.
Always ask questions and just be honest about it.
Right.
You know, like if you don't understand something, just ask.
Yeah.
You know, you can always go back to the fact that, yo, I asked. Even if you screw it up, well, I asked, you know, but always ask questions.
I feel like not asking questions can just lead to so many things. Like people are like afraid of looking dumb. But particularly if you're at the beginning of your like job, like you're supposed to be asking questions.
Exactly.
Even if you're deep into it, the people who ask questions actually make it further and like quicker.
That's the whole point, because you're literally just getting answers for someone that solved the same problem you're trying to solve, you know?
Right.
Yeah. That's
through having like art mentors, there's like 3 hours I could spend on Google or YouTube trying to find an answer, but I could ask my mentor. They're like, oh, boom, boom. And it's like, wow. Thank you.
Yo, like I still say to today, like mentors are the best thing any artist can have starting out. Like, just have people you can ask questions.
Yeah.
It's gonna save you everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the trick I've seen, even no matter what the industry, even if you're afraid to ask questions in your job, just ask somebody else the question, and then you still look smart and you still have the answer.
Just ask questions, man. Just ask. You know, like in Christianity, right? I don't know, like I always say Christianity because I'm a Christian, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much, it's a relationship, right? Just ask questions.
Yeah.
And you get answers. That's how it works, you know. That's the whole point of prayer, right?
Yeah.
Ask questions. So ask whoever is like your senior or your lead or whatever, you know? Yeah, ask questions, I think.
Speaking of like relationship, that's the key to like the networking piece too, because people try to make it so transactional.
Mm.
And it's like, it's building a relationship with somebody And then you just so happen to ask them for something later, but don't make it so transactional.
Yeah, yeah, that, yo, man, that's something I actually should talk about. Because when I started out, I used to reach out to a lot of people. I did not know how beneficial it was till now.
Yeah.
There's so many people that I've had conversations with, like, when I didn't even know what I was doing. And I'd be like, yo, these people actually replied to me because my work was shit. My work was horrible. You know, like, I've always asked questions. If I tell you people I've sent DMs, like 8 or 9 years ago, you'd be like, what? What were you even thinking? You know, but yeah, like always just reaching out to people, genuinely just connecting with people, not because you want to get jobs or whatever from them, you know, just actually, you know, connect with people. And eventually, if it's going to lead to something, it will. And if it's not, it is what it is.
Yeah. If you could change one thing about the industry, what would it be?
Yeah, it should just be less toxic, man. Yeah, like, it's too hard. Mm-hmm. I think now that I'm here in Canada, I feel like I'm now into the industry proper.
Yeah.
Freelance is chilled, man. You don't know what's going on. You're just me. But when you're inside it, it's different. You start knowing what's really, it's, yeah, like, I don't know, man. I don't know if it can change.
Yeah.
Maybe. But it's just been less toxic, man. You know, people getting fired without, it's a lot. Like, it really hits me when I hear about layoffs and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, man, like, it that's why you start seeing artists that don't even are not artists anymore. They're just like workers.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something I've started seeing now. Not everybody thinks like an artist anymore. They're just like, yo, man, I just want to get a job done.
Yeah.
You know, so, and with the way the industry is now, we just produce more people like that.
Yeah.
And artists are like reducing every single time. Yeah. Because I keep telling people, like, I don't know. I feel like at some point I'm just going to switch and just do music. Because art sometimes gets stressful, gets really stressful. Like, job hunting, disappointments that come. Like, I know it happens in all the industries, but as artists, we are more attached to it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I guess that's one thing I wish.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, like, depending on, like, leadership of, particularly in a capitalistic society, of the people with the money not having artistic eyes sometimes. And
yeah,
then you have to like cater to their things instead of like each artist being hired for their talent and then let them take it to wherever they take it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it gets to a point where it's just about executing stuff. I understand that. Like, money needs to be made. But at the end, like, what's the core of this industry? It's like entertainment, right? People feeling emotions to what you're creating. If you forget that, then you start creating things that don't even have life anymore.
Yeah.
Just something
to
worry.
Which is the antithesis of animation, is to bring life.
Yeah, like, it's like a different imagination and just making them forget about whatever they're going through.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot. Like, even now, I keep saying it, like, now that I would say I'm a lot more successful as an artist, I kind of don't enjoy drawing more. I don't understand why that happens. Like,
yeah.
I feel like you get more busy and most of your juice goes into production.
Yeah.
And you don't even enjoy drawing anymore. You know, like, you don't have time to like just sketch and just have fun. I went into one place where I draw to make money. Like, I don't know how to explain the feeling. It's weird. Like, back in the days, I just draw because I want to draw. I just want to draw, create stuff, and that's it. But now I draw from the mindset of, oh, can I think, make this a content? Can I pitch this?
The hustle
just comes in. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, the music piece of animation, like, because, man, the music from the 90s animation.
Yeah, it was different. Different. They didn't care about, like, catering to a particular kind of people. They were just doing things naturally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's different. I don't know.
Yeah,
really, really. I still love the industry though. It's
yeah.
Yeah,
because I love the potential of it, and then more people doing independent stuff. So I'm just hoping the independent part of the industry keeps growing.
Yeah. Like, I just hope for a good balance, you know, of both.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel is the importance of incorporating your culture into projects when given the opportunity?
I feel like that's the whole essence, man. It falls back to what we're saying, like your passion, what drives you. Like, I know at some point in my life, I was stuck up on drawing like cowboys and stuff, but I don't really know much about cowboys, if I'm being honest. You know, and I had a lot more things that were natural around me, yeah, that were fun, but I didn't see them to be fun, you know, till gradually I started to find those things. I'm like, yo, this is what makes me unique. This is what makes my design, you know. Mm-hmm. This is a story I can tell that nobody can tell from my perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, like, even now, one of the best artwork I know I always get, like, comments and like questions from is this grand lady I did, this old lady I did with the ring. And that thing was just so natural to me. Like, I didn't think, now I have to actually create stories to it.
Yeah.
I don't have any story to it, I just draw. But now I have to create stories to it, you know? Like, it's, I feel like now it makes more sense because everybody now accepts it. Then it didn't make any sense. If I was drawing a lot more black people, nobody cared. I don't think I would have gotten jobs, if I'm being honest, because they wanted this to fit into like a, you know, it's not like, this is not even a race thing, it's just what the industry was. Yeah. You know, I can't, you know, if I was saying, okay, I'm learning how to like do, let's say surfacing, for instance, and I can't surface like a Caucasian character, and then I can do, you know, you have to like learn both ways.
Yeah.
So yeah, like now I think it's more important than ever to like bring your originality, you know, because you want to create things you're proud of, right? And not just, mm-hmm, again, create things like a robot. You want to create things that has you in it, you know?
Yeah. And then when you were talking about your culture earlier, the mm-hmm originality is natural.
It's just there. It's just, like, that's one thing I really want to do more now. Like, just things I see around me. You know why it makes more sense? Now that I'm here, a lot of things that were like, oh, this is so cool. And things that are just here. They're just normal things here. Like in comics, I remember reading Spawn a lot when I was younger. I used to love the way they draw the alleys. I'm like, yo, this is so cool. This is so great. But that's what it's just normal alleys here. it's like almost nothing here. It's like a neighborhood. But it's like amazing and interesting to me because I don't know what it is.
Right.
That's the same way people here are going to feel if I start drawing things from where I'm from. Because that way they start experiencing, you know, what I experience or whatever.
Yeah, that's, it's like a great way to put it.
Yeah.
We'll be like, it's just an alley.
Exactly. Because, yeah, I don't think anybody will be like, oh, God, this alley is so beautiful. No, they see it all the time. It's just right beside their house. But for me, I'm like, yo, look at the bricks in those buildings. Like, you know. Yeah, man, yeah.
That's like when I read like the BuzzFeed articles about like Americans and everybody be like, oh, the red cups, like, it's just a cup.
You see, like, so again, and that's one thing, I guess because the production houses and stuff were here, it made more sense. Most of the things that were created are, you know, created from here. So now I'm happy, you know, a lot of stuffs are coming in. Like, I'm so pumped for Iwaju and Kizazi. Yeah. Like, that would change everything.
Yes. You
know? Yeah.
Excitement.
Yeah, oh, man. I'm so happy. Like, this is the year we've been waiting for.
Yes.
2023.
Finally.
I've been waiting for it, man.
Like, when it be announced, it'd be like 3 years from now.
Yeah. Yo, it's crazy. The Iwaju story is insane. But, yeah, it is what it is.
What do you hope for the future of animation as far as innovation, storylines, and characters?
What do I hope for? Again, I just hope for like that crust where it's normal to see like black owned productions, you know, more other, like, I hope for that mix where nothing is like, oh, is this people's time or whatever. It's just perfect. It's just what it is. It's just different stories. If you want to watch stories from Africa, there's a place to see it. If you want to watch stories from India, it's out there. It's not like you now have to search, or some people are feeling like, oh, our stories have not been told or whatever. I just wish we get to that point where it's just what it is. You know, kind of what music is now in a way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think of like the boom of the African music?
It's time. You guys are welcome to enjoy what we've been enjoying for a long time. You know, I'm happy it's happening now.
Yeah.
I'm happy it's happening now, and like, I'm alive to experience it, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm really happy. Like when I walk around and I just hear it, I just smile like, yo. That's like, I remember when I saw the Black Panther, the new one, mm-hmm. and Burna Boy's song came up. I was just tapping my friend like, yo, because she's Dominican Republic. I was like, yo, listen to that. That's Burna Boy. Like, that's Nigerian. She's like, oh, it sounds good. I'm like, yeah, of course it sounds good. You know, so I'm just happy it's like, it's out there now. And I just hope more and more until it becomes normal.
What do you hope that, you know, Black animation professionals or hobbyists do in this current landscape, particularly in Nigeria, that you wish you could have done or that you are doing?
What I wish we've done, I think, if I'm being honest, is just now aiming for professionalism, mm-hmm. right? Because the light is on Africa now, doesn't mean you drop PPA yourself. Like, we don't want an industry where they're like, oh, okay, it's a Nigerian animation. Okay, they try. Nah, man, let's yeah. push. And that's one thing I've always wanted to do, and that's one thing I'm still doing. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want to be like a local champion and be like, oh, you want to do something? Meet that guy. Nah, everybody should be as good as I am. Like, yeah. aim for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like, sometimes I feel really sad when I see the news that come from my country, Nigeria. I'm going to bash some people now. It is what it is. But it's like a tough love conversation, right?
Yeah.
I think it's time we really try to like match the standard, you know? Yeah. Like mm-hmm. create something good. Don't just create something that's not, that's just like, oh, okay, nah, man, push. If you need to learn, learn. If you need to get like mentors, get mentors. Yeah. If you need help, get help. You know, and that's one thing I was honestly just talking to my friends this morning, that the industry back home needs to understand that it's not a competition, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you need to like work with other studios and like learn from them, do it. You don't have to do everything yourself.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I think people need to understand, you know, like be professional, be good. Mm-hmm. You know, don't let the first thing people say was like, oh, it's an African thing. Nah, yeah. This is good. Then it'll be like, oh, it's from Africa. Wow, nice. No wonder the colors are like this, but let it be good. You know, yeah. That's my thing.
Yeah, I think another thing is like, you know, training your artistic eye, because when people have artistic eye and you're like a beginner, you don't like your stuff because you know it could be better and you know what professional is or you know what good is.
Yeah.
But then some people don't have the artistic eye and they just yeah. like, this is good yeah. enough. I was like, it's not.
That's my worry right now, because I feel like the floodgates for content is open and people are just going to bring shit. You know? Bring good stuff.
Yeah.
Create good stuff. Like, push hard, you know. Yeah, that's yeah. just me. Like,
take full advantage of the opportunity.
Exactly. And learn, you know. Man, I don't think I can ever stop learning, man. Because there's always something new. There's always a better way to do it. And again, like, the industry has been doing it way before we even started.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much to learn, you know. Yeah, that's one thing I would say. Like, just progress.
And the thing about, like, the people, if you just, you know, the floodgates open and you're mm-hmm. just doing stuff that's subpar, it's because sometimes people are like, let me just get the money now. And they're not forward thinking to how it could sustain the money.
Exactly. And actually create like a legacy people can aim for, you know? Yeah. Like, yeah, just that's my only worry. Like, create good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah.
If you need to take your old studio, like I'm talking to the studios back home now, if you need to get like a training for all the staff in your do it. Even Disney still has training in the studios every single time. You know, like, that's my worry. You know, yeah. just learn. Don't stop learning. Do good stuff. Yeah. Now this, I could have like 5 hours conversation about. I'm very passionate because that's where I'm from, right? That's where
Right. What are 3 movies you recommend to my audience and why?
Oh, man. 3 movies. Ah, yo, this is hard. Wait, let me think of something I watch. I know that hit me hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, I need to really take a minute to think about this one. Oh, my God. Spider-Verse for sure. Because, I mean, that's like a... Yeah, okay, I remember now. Spider-Verse, Arcane, and it's a Pixar movie. I'm trying to see which one. I think it was Turning Red. This is gonna sound weird, but Turning Red for me was, so this is why Turning Red is Turning Red for me.
Okay.
Turn Red is an Asian story. Like the baseline is, it was based in Toronto, blah, blah, blah. But the core of the culture is not American.
Right.
But you see what I'm saying? It's done properly. Yeah. Maybe because Pixar, blah, blah, blah. But the creators are not Americans. It's their culture they're bringing in. Like, so that's the thing. Like, that's one of the movies I would say for me, and this is for me, I just hope to see like a Nigerian story being told on that level.
Yeah.
Quality. Yeah. I think if I could be in one project like that, I'm done. I'm done with my career. I'm done. You know. But yeah, so Turning Red, mm-hmm. Arcane is insane. Arcane is just too good. And yeah, Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What you're saying about Turning Red, like Turning Red, there's a movie called Always Be My Maybe. And then Beef that was just on Netflix.
I was gonna say Beef, but I was like, no.
because like it's like the story is there and the culture doesn't bust you in the face, but it's there. Like
yeah, it's not really, it's not forced. I think that's the word. It's not forced. You just believe it and accept it and you love the culture.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm hoping for. I'm just really hoping we create like one project like that.
Yeah.
Africa that's going to be so real and authentic. Yeah.
Because also it Always Be My Maybe. The reason I like, because, okay, so I had a period where, you know, women typically, like, you know, sometimes in America, they'd be like, oh, during Christmas, let's watch all the like, you know, Lifetime and Hallmark movies. So a few years ago, I gave it a chance. After 5 movies, I'm out. Like, this is the same story over and over again. Like, I don't understand how y'all are doing this. Like, you know, the girl leave, she become popping, come back to the small town boy, like, or any variation of that. The reason I like Always Be My Maybe, because it's the exact same story, but they just did it better. Like, so you can do the exact same story, just do it better.
I keep saying it like there really is no new story. If you look at the arc of everything, it's the same thing. But it's just the perspective and how it's been told, and the cultures and, you know, the kind of lifestyle, I think, is what makes the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's one thing I'm hoping for, man. I'm just really hoping it is something like that. Yeah.
And then another thing about Always Be My Maybe, like, it was the Asian culture, but it was also San Francisco. So it's like, you could tell, I wouldn't know, because I'm not from San Francisco, I wouldn't know all the Easter eggs. But the people were like, oh, snap, I remember that. Like,
yeah, exactly, man.
So everybody can enjoy it, but it's still for a particular audience.
Yep. And they would identify easily, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you could choose an actor to play you in a biopic, who would you pick?
Why are you doing this, man? This question is, yo. An actor to play me. I kind of feel like, an actor to play me. Who am I?
You are somebody.
I know. I'm just trying to find who has like a personality that, who can act. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I kind of feel like this John Wick guy. It's like me, because he just wants to know, what do I have to do?
Yeah.
I'll get it done.
Yeah.
I'm going to die trying, but I'll get it done. I think he might play me. Honestly. I have to use him because everybody knows who he is, right? Yeah.
So
I think he can fit me. And it says literally, it doesn't say too much.
Right. If someone was producing a documentary about you, what things would you want them to highlight outside of your work in animation?
I think pretty much just how I think as a person, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm very, like, now that I'm getting older, I realize I'm very spontaneous. Mm-hmm. Every single thing about my life is like, mm-hmm. I just decided, yeah, we'll do it. That's it. You know, that's how I move. And I think it's something I would like to be enlightened more, that it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Again, it goes back to no regrets, man, you know? Because at the end, decisions will be made, yes or no. You have to pick one. You can't die. You have to pick one.
Yeah.
You know, pick one and move. You know, I think that's one thing, just like my life, like who I am, away from like, creative hustle, you know, passion and all those things, just who I am as a person, core. Yeah. I think that's one thing.
Yeah, I just read a really good article in the past week. I don't know what article it was, so I don't know if I can like give it to people, but it was describing the difference between spontaneity and impulsion. And so spontaneity is like you're more structured with it, but impulsiveness is like the dangerous one. But you can't just but you can't be spontaneous and it still be good.
Oh yeah, like I kind of feel like being spontaneous is like making that decision on the fly, but then dedicating your time and focusing on it is what makes a difference, right? Yeah.
So where can people follow you and your work?
Instagram is the best place, even if I've not been posting stuff in a long time. I wish to get back. I'm really trying to get back. I'm trying to get back to posting, but Instagram, yeah. Shego underscore something is the best place to follow me, really. I think that's the only one that I'm very active on. Facebook is like, but yeah, Instagram for sure. Yeah.
And I want to thank you for allowing me to highlight you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for doing this. And thanks for doing this for the industry. And thanks for doing this for people, because you wouldn't know how much you're doing now till later. You know, because I had early days of my life where videos like this was what actually prepared me for the next 5 years. I didn't even know. So that's what you're doing for people now. So thank you for having me on board.
Thanks.
Cool.
And to everyone out there, I want you to like so I know it's real. Comment, tell me how you feel. Subscribe to Citadel and sign up for post notifications to show your zeal. And I'll see you in the next video. Peace.
Peace.